Anthony, last year, it was around this time, it was Memorial Day weekend when I preached up here for the first time. And and after that, God's beginning to deal with Joyce and I about moving. Her parents, had some health issues that come up, and my parents had passed away. My brother and my his family have all moved to Florida. And I said, well, we have really no family here except for my aunts and uncles. And I said, why don't we just move to Ohio and we can take care of your parents. And God will work everything else out. And he has over the last several years. He's worked everything out for us, or the last several months. And so I just want to thank you for accepting us and allowing us this opportunity to minister your word to you and getting to know you all. We appreciate the relationships and friendships that we've gotten. I wanted to share last week, Brother Nathan, he had a message, and it was a really good message. And the reason why it was good to me is because it ministered to me, because it was so, the time of the message was so good about being positive and having positive thoughts and how we react to things. And I had struggled the 2 weeks before. I was really struggling with some things that was happening to Joyce and I. Many of you were here last year. You heard my testimony, or the testimony of how we lost our daughter. So over the last 2 weeks, it was tough because this was the year my daughter was supposed to graduate high school. A couple months ago, we were approached by students from her class and saying that, hey, we want to honor Sam. We want to remember Sam in graduation. Do we have your blessing to do so? And we said, yes, you do. And they told us what they wanted to do. They wanted to have a chair for her. And they were just going to put flowers on the chair. And afterwards, they were going to give the flowers to Joyce and I. And that was their plan. And they said everything was okay. And so the Friday before the graduation, or 2 Fridays before graduation, they went to the school board just to get the final approval. Or actually, they went to the principal with the final approval, and the principal said, no, can't do it. And they said, well, why not? And he said, because we have a policy against unacceptable memorials. And when we heard that, imagine the devastation that Joyce and I had, that my daughter was unacceptable to be remembered. And that might not be what they said, but that's how we heard it. Because they said it's an unacceptable memorial. And Joyce was devastated. She, for days, she was just already reeling because, we're not going to see one of the most important days of our daughter's life. I know the superintendent. I know the school board members. I called and said, hey, what's going on? What am I hearing? And by that time, there was a petition that went around, and there was over 8,000 signatures within 2 days. The school board said, well, we're going to do something. We're going to change this policy. The policy is outdated, but we're not sure if we're going to be able to change it in time for your daughter and for this. They worked, and they called professionals, and the reason why they say it was unacceptable, because they don't want to glorify the way that she passed away, which I understand. They want other people to do the same thing, which I understand. But the fact is how you handled it and what you said to us. And I was really getting angry. One of the things I found, I sent to them and said, hey, that no matter, it tells us in these handbooks that no matter what was the cause of death, you need to handle all memorials at graduation the same. And they couldn't do so. They couldn't admit to that. We had the papers calling us. We had TV media calling us and asking us, can we do a story on this? And I was just living. Well, they came up with the final decision and says, well, we'll allow the valedictorian to mention your daughter in the speech. And the girl was allowed to say was, we remember those who can't be with us here today. And I was so angry. I told the newspaper, I told Joyce, what it feels like to me is that years ago, it was kids bullying in school. Now it feels like it's the administration. It feels like the school board is bullying my daughter. And couple years ago, I said, we're going to choose love. And this year, I was angry. I was mad. And I'm like, Lord, you know, and in my prayers, I'm praying. And I just kept on hearing the Lord say, vengeance is mine. It's not yours. Guard your heart, guard your attitude. And I fought and I struggled with that. Fought and struggled with for a week and a half. Because I really, man, I mean, a kid bullies my kid. You know, I understand there's reasons, but when an adult would do something to my kid, man, that was fighting words for me. You know, I can feel anger. I can feel that I wanted to go to that school board meeting. You know, with my fist drawn, I was furious. And yes, you know, even pastors, even Christians can get upset, but it's how we react. It's what we do with it. And I just took it to prayer. And I just, okay, Lord, I understand. It's you're the one who's going to deal with it. And I don't care. I'm not even going to pray vengeance for him. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you just give me peace. Give Joyce peace. Give us love and whatsoever. The valedictorian speech, she broke the rule, and she didn't just say, we want to remember those who can't be here. She goes, we want to remember Samantha. Samantha, we know you're watching down on us. I mean, it's a small concession but you know, the fact that it was there. And when Pastor and Brother Nathan spoke last week and talking about having the positive thoughts, you know, I had struggled with it. I was doing it. But it was so encouraging to hear. Because God's timing is good, isn't it? The message, the word he speaks is good timing. Because it was something I needed to hear. It was just, yes, confirmation to let it go. Because even a week after, I was having a hard time letting go. I was mad. I was going to, you know, let's call the meeting. Let's do the story. Let's just go ahead and do the story. Let's rip them. Matter of fact, let's tell them everything. Let's tell them that a teacher in the school said that my daughter's hair looked like a parrot threw up in it, and that the principal said, well, don't worry what the boys say. You know, when they wanted to have her send naked pictures of herself and the boys, and he says, well, boys will be boys. I wanted to just go, and I wanted to release it so the whole area knew. And I said, but after Brother Nathan's message, I was like, you know what? I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go. Because God's not going to judge me based upon their actions. God's going to judge me based upon my actions. And what I do. So I wanted to encourage Brother Nathan that your message last week, it ministered to me. It was something that I needed to hear at that moment, in that time. But today I want to talk about the battles that we face. We face the battle, right? We face the battle. And I'm sure that many of you are here today are probably facing a battle or just got out of battle, or guess what? In a few weeks, we're going to be facing a battle. We face battles, okay? And it's part of our life. And we've got to know that the battles in our life sometimes has a purpose. It has a purpose, okay? And as I was sitting here and everyone's beginning to come up and share, I was like, my message is going to preach on its own. I don't even need to come up here. But then, you know what? That's God's confirmation, right? That's God's confirmation. So in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, it says this. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness or patience. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So the purpose of us going through the trials, the purpose of us going through tribulations, is three things. That it produces, or actually four things. It produces patience, steadfastness. Okay? That we may what? Be perfect. That we may what? That we will be complete. And then we will lack nothing. The purpose of trials is for God to actually bless us through it. For us to be more faithful. For us to trust Him more. And I look at it this way. When we go through the trial of inflation, when we go through the trials of rising gas prices, when we go through the trials of food shortages, the value of our money declining, we will lack nothing. And we see what's happening in our world today, and there's fear. How are we going to handle it? The price of the meat. You know, there was a report this week that a dozen eggs could cost $12 a dozen. You know, that was a report, and everybody's, oh, well, how are we going to do this? And you know what? It is. It could be scary. It could be a frightening time. How am I going to provide? But the fact is that through this, God says that we will lack nothing. That $12 to God is nothing, because he has a pocketbook that is unlimited. We look at everything in a limit, right? I know it's in my wall right now, and it's a dollar. That's all it is. It's $1. I don't carry cash on me, but that's all I have, $1. You know how embarrassing it is to go to the, and I do it all the time. I say, oh, I'm going to carry $5 on me, but I go to the Dollar General, you know, and I buy one item, and it comes up to $1.85, and I have to use my debit card. Right? We all do it, probably. I just don't carry cash on me. But anyways, it doesn't matter what's in our pocketbook. It doesn't matter what's in our bank statement. It doesn't matter, you know, what value we have, what as our brother said, 401k was doing. It doesn't matter, because God's resources is unlimited. And his word is true. God cannot lie. And I know that this is true because the Bible says it. It's not what we see on the internet. Right? Everybody says, hey, it's on the internet, it must be true. Well, this isn't on the internet, and I can tell you it's true because it's in the Word of God. And the very truth, that this very truth should do it for you. It should give you more trust, but for many Christians, it actually brings anxiety when we go through trials. How am I going to get through this? How am I going to get through this? And it's something that's natural. It's something that you see in the Word of God all through the Old Testament. The Egyptians, you know, had the Jewish people in slavery, and God brings them out of slavery, and what happened? We would have just been better off if we just stayed in slavery. You brought us out here to die. And then God parts the Red Sea, and they all praise God, and then they go and they say, we're thirsty. We've been better off in Egypt. You brought us out here to die, and God provides water. And then they get hungry. Oh, it'd be better if we just were in Egypt. God provides the manna. Oh, we're tired of manna. God provides them quail. We're going to die. Look at the giants. And God takes care of that. After they weren't allowed to go into the promised land. But we should realize that through these times, that God is faithful and he won't let us down. Oftentimes we know that God can do anything. And I'm sure you're here today, God can do anything. You know that. But we question, will he do it in our situation? We question, you know what, I know God can heal. I know God can provide. I know God can pay this bill if I know. But will he do it for me? Because sometimes we feel that we're unworthy. Sometimes we feel that, well, you know what? I look at brother so-and-so's life. I look at sister so-and-so's life. And look how God's blessing them. But that's because they're so faithful. That's because they have this. I'm not like them. I just don't feel like that. I just don't have the faith as they do. Or I still have habits in my life that I can't break. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of God's love. How many of you ever feel or even feel today that we're not worthy of God's love? We feel that you know what? Hey, I have those issues too. There's days I wake up, Lord, you know what? I don't know why you would do it for me, because I'm just not worthy. If I just keep on having this bad habit, I just can't break it. I hold a secret from my wife. I eat a peanut butter sandwich every night. I lie to her. She says, did you eat something? No.
She can smell it on your breath.
That's what she says, too. You seriously? You can smell peanut butter on his breath? I'm making sure I'm bringing toothbrush downstairs to the kitchen as well. Scope and everything else. Thank you. But we do. We think that, you know what? God's not going to do it for me because I messed up this week. God's not going to do it for me because I was angry, that I had a bad attitude. God's not going to do it for me this week because, you know what, I'm just not, you know, I didn't read my Bible this morning. And one of the words this morning was God loves. God loves you. God cares for you. And this is so much how much he cares for us, that he speaks his positive words in the Word of God. He speaks us his promises. And they are for you. They are for those who love him. They are for those who he calls his child. And when God speaks, he cannot lie. When God speaks, he will fulfill his purpose. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10 and 11, it says, "For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes out from my voice, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the things for which I sent it." God's word does not return void. That when he speaks something, it's for a purpose, and that purpose will be accomplished, just as the rain and snow. What's the purpose for the rain and the snow? It's a cyclical water process. Precipitation comes upon the earth and it drains into the land and produces great benefit for the growth of the crops, the refreshment of souls, and the sustaining of life. God compares his word to rain because his word fulfills his purpose. And his word brings forth life, and it produces good fruit in our lives. When he begins to speak and he says that this is my promise, he's doing it, why? Because he's bringing his purpose. And sometimes it's said his purpose is in the trials that we face. It is for us to produce more patience. It's in the trials for us to face, because in it he's going to bless us. When we have need, he's going to provide. And guess what? He's going to do it in a way that's going to be supernatural. He's going to be in a way, he's going to do it that only he can do. I remember years ago, I struggled. We struggled financially. It was before I even met my wife. I struggled financially. I was in an early marriage, and when I was young, and I was broke. I had bills. I was in over my head. I mean, I owed more money than what I had in assets. I owed more money on my house than what my house was even worth at the time. And I was in really desperate shape, and I never had enough money. And the one thing that I struggle with doing is when you can't provide and you're struggling, that money that you have is valuable to you. And I was like, you know what? I can't afford a tithe. I gotta either pay my house payment or I gotta tithe this month. Well, guess what? I'm paying my house payment because I need to live in my house. And I was beginning to neglect and beginning to not trust God. I was just trusting in what I can do. And when the debt kept on piling up, I was like, okay, what can I do? I'm gonna go find everything that's metal that I can find, you know, around my house that I don't need. I went and I had an old Nintendo, not the Wii, what was before the Wii, whatever it was. Was that? Yeah, PlayStation, not Nintendo, PlayStation. I had an old PlayStation, nobody used it no more. I was getting too old to play the football games, because my kids would beat me anyways. But anyways, I was looking, I was seeing what I can sell and sell, and I'm like, got money on the table, and I'm looking, I said, this still isn't enough to, I don't know what to do. And I struggled for a few months, and it started getting more and more overhead. My ex-wife, you know, she said, you know, I'm done, we're out of it, I can't do this anymore. And she left, and I'm still struggling. And God spoke to me. When are you going to start trusting me? When are you going to start giving me your first fruits? When are you going to start doing this? When are you going to start obeying? I don't need your money. But when are you going to start obeying? And I started to obey. I said, you're right, Lord. I started to obey. What's the worst? Sell my house. then I'll go live with my parents. And what's the worst I could do? I'll trust you, Lord. And I begin to do that. And I didn't realize that as the months went on, I was actually paying my bills. And there was no way I could do it on one income. But I was paying my bills, and I realized, whoa, wait, I have $5 extra. I have a, you know, $3 extra this 2 weeks. Before I was below, and next thing you know, it just began to go. And here I am at a point where I'm completely out of debt. Now, we came up here and bought a house in Ohio, and now I'm in debt again. But actually, this time, we're not underwater. We're way above. And God has blessed us. Why? It's because I begin to trust in God. Begin to say, realize that, you know what, his word does not go forth void. That it will return to, it will return. He has a purpose. Just like the rain and snow, there's a purpose in what he speaks. The only thing we have to do is trust. So we see that God desires to bless us. He desires to be our Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He desires to be our Jehovah Rapha, our healer, our Jehovah Mephalti, my deliverer, Jehovah Shamrai, my protector. That's what his desire is. And when he says that's what he wants to do, that's what he is, because it tells us that I am who I am, I am who you need to be. You know what? His word does not return void, and that means that he is who you need him to be at this very moment in your life. If you need him to be your provider because you need to put food on your table, he will be your provider. But you just have to trust him and you have to obey him. If you need him to be your healer today, he will be your healer. But what you need to do is you need to trust him and heal him. Not saying that you don't go to the doctor, not saying you don't take medication, but you need to be trusting him and say, you know what, Lord, you have this. And we got to stop living in fear. We got to stop living in fear to thinking that, you know what, is the ultimate outcome of me not having food, that I'm going to starve to death. What's the ultimate outcome if I have a disease and it won't heal? I'm going to die of my disease. Well, you know what? The ultimate outcome is healing in heaven, right? The ultimate outcome, and I'm not saying that God's going to let us starve to death. He's not. Because his word says otherwise. But what I'm saying, though, is that all of our fear is for outcomes, and all those outcomes lead us for eternal life in Christ. So why are we fearing eternal life in Christ? Because we're fearing what is leading up to. Maybe we're fearing what other people will think of us. Maybe we're fearing what people will think of us if we're in our car and we're having to ride through a food giveaway. Or we're fearful of what somebody's going to think of us if we have this. You know, my grandfather, man, he was a great man of God. He, in our area, he did a lot of stuff. He had people would come to him. He was just an encourager. He had prayer meetings. But he had MS. And he dealt with MS. And I remember as a little kid, I remember when it started, he said he tripped over mouse dirt. He just fell. And I remember that happening. And then I remember as getting older, it got worse and worse and worse to where he was bedridden. I remember they would put him in this machine, pick him up out of the machine, and they wheel him into the living room and set him in a chair just so he could have men's Bible study. And he really couldn't move his arms. Somebody would give him a drink. And they did it every Friday night. And I remember watching it. I remember seeing the decline. And this man was a man of faith. People would call him to try to encourage him. And they would be crying and saying, you know what, he encouraged me. And he was never healed. He was never healed of MS. But man, today he has his ultimate healing. Today he's in heaven serving God. He has his ultimate healing. And because of his faithfulness, there are hundreds, if not thousands of people in our area who have an opportunity to be serving the Lord. The impact that he's had. And definitely had an impact on my life. Even though we know that God can do everything, that his resources are unlimited, we still battle with fear, with doubt, and with anxiety. And this battle is in our minds. And it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, and spiritual forces. And we have to remember this, that the power that Satan has is limited in effectiveness and time. God's power is unlimited. And those who have Christ in their lives has the power of God in their life. Satan can tempt us, but he can't touch us personally without God's permission. How we know that? Job. Remember when God says, hey, you consider my servant Job, and Satan goes, it's only because you put a hedge around him, I can't touch him. Remove it. And he said, I'll remove it, but just don't touch him. And we see what happened. We see the all outcome of that. That's not my story today. But we see that. Satan can't do anything to us unless we have God's permission. And God's permission, he's not going to permit Satan to do something that's going to kill us. What he's going to permit Satan to do is to do something that will fulfill God's purpose in our life, to bring us closer to him. And he's going to look back and say, ha, 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 you fell for it again. You didn't cause him to run from me. You drew him closer to me. You didn't bring fear in life. You caused him to trust me more. And that's what God wants from us today. He wants us to trust him more. Each and every day, trust him more. But I believe the power that Satan has over us is what we give him. He can tempt us, but he can't force us to fall. He can lie to us, but he can't force us to believe it. If you remember the first mention of Satan in the Bible, he came to what? Came to Eve and Adam in the form of a serpent. A snake. How many like snakes? Not too many people like snakes. But snakes is really just what tells the Bible we can stomp on his head, you know, and it's going to got a crush under the soles of our feet. Okay? I won't go into battle with a snake. I really don't want to. But I'm more scared of a dragon, a great dragon, a great beast than a snake. And in Revelation chapter 12, 9, it reads this. And the great dragon was thrown down, that an ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, deceiver of the whole world. The very first mention of Satan, he was a serpent. And in Revelation, here's this big, great dragon. How in the world did he receive power? How in the world did he grow that much from being a serpent to this big dragon? It's because, first of sin, but also because of our fear. When we begin to fear him, we're giving him power over us. When we begin to give in to his lies, we're giving him power over us. And the fact is, he doesn't have that power over us. We have been freed. Now here's a story that I want to share with you. Then we're going to end here. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we know the story of David and Goliath, but I'm going to read you excerpts from it. Starting in verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered the armies for battle. And they were gathered at Socoth, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Socoth and Azekah in Ephes-Damon. And Saul and the men of Israel gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in line of battle against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of Philistine a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs, and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight me and kill me, then he will be, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that may fight together. And when Saul and all of Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. They feared this giant. They feared this man who was yelling things at them. He wasn't chasing them. He didn't have his sword drawn. He wasn't swinging. He didn't kill anybody. He was just yelling things at them, and they were greatly afraid. They were afraid by what they saw. They were afraid by what they heard. And in verse 26, and David said to the men who stood by him, what shall be done for this man who killed this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Basically, David said, who is this man? Who is he? He has no power. How can he defy the armies of the living God? See, David began to realize that there's no power in the enemy. Especially when we're serving the living God. And read on to verse 41. And the Philistine moved forward and came to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come with me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air, to the beasts of the field. And then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down, cut off your head. I will give you the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. And here he is. Who are you? You have no authority. You're not more powerful than God. Matter of fact, I am not even going to have to do what you feel I have to do. I'm going to do is just kill you with a little stone. I'm going to just use a little stone. I'm going to whip it. And it's going to hit your only part of your armor, that the only part of your body that is not protected by armor. We know what God can do. And we know that we fear the giant. But God is bigger than the giant. But this here should make you excited. Let's go back and read the very first verse again. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Sococ, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Sococ and Ezekah in Ephes-Damim. That verse should make you excited. Why? It's just a bunch of words I can't pronounce. But I'll tell you why. Because if you remember last year when I preached, I said that I believe that God has a reason for it, names. Okay? He has a reason for names. And the meaning of the word Ephes-Damim means border of the blood. The giant cannot cross the blood of the Lamb. We are covered by his blood. Satan, the death angel in Egypt, could not pass through the doorposts that were covered in the blood. Goliath, all he could do was speak because he could not cross the valley because he could not cross the border of God's blood. We are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And no matter what's out there, no matter what fear you have, no matter what the enemy tries to say to you, because that's all he can say is say to you. He can yell to you that you're worthless. He can yell to you that you have no purpose. He can yell to you and say that you're going to die. You're going to starve to death. You're going to lose your home. The enemy can say that to you over and over and over again, but he has no power to do it. He has no power to take it from you. Matter of fact, that once again, if you look at what was said earlier in Isaiah, or actually, I'm sorry, in James, that when we go through those trials, it's for a purpose, and his purpose is to bless us, that we will lack nothing. And we should be excited at the fact that because we are bought by his blood, we are redeemed by the blood of the Lord, that nothing, absolutely nothing, can cross over that blood. That, guess what? even when the world crumbles, even when there's no food, God's going to provide for those who serve him and those who love him. Even when the housing market may crash, God's going to provide a roof over our heads. Even when the stock market crashes and we lose our retirement, God's going to provide in our retirement. Even though that you have a diagnosis, a health issue, a diagnosis, God is going to minister to you. And guess what? He may not heal you of the diagnosis. He may not heal you of the thing, but his ultimate healing is still there. And he will give you peace, and he will give you joy. All we have to do is what Brother Nathan talked about last week, is having the positive words in our life. Bringing all the scriptures that he used last week, the positive words that, you know what, my God says that he's going to do this for me. My God says, you know, promise me this. And we know his word will not bring forth void. He brings forth a purpose. So we need to do away with fear, because we are bought by the blood of the Lamb and we are covered. The blood redeems. It cleanses. It brings us right, or it declares us righteous. We are forgiven. And our judgment has been satisfied. We are no longer a stranger to his covenant. You know what? The covenant, the blood covenant, and God already provided the blood for it. It's there. And God does not break his covenant. We are his people. Let's stand this morning. I'm going to pray. And then if you need some prayer, if you want some prayer, there's some things in your life that you're just fearing, that you're scared of. I'll give you an example, though. Fear is a big thing, and it will do many things to you. Shortly after, we lost Sam. And I don't know if I shared it before, but shortly after we lost Sam, I feared. I had a fear. My daughter, Victoria, was coming home from college. And I was always picking her up, you know, and bringing her back. She didn't have a car up there at this time. As a freshman, they weren't allowed to have a car. But she said, hey, I found a friend who lives in Pittsburgh, and she would drop me off at the new Stanton exit. If you can meet me there, I'll save you a couple hours. That'd be great. So I asked her to send me a message when you leave so I know what time to be up there. So she did. And I said, when you get to this exit, you know, send me a message because I know you're half hour away, and then I can leave and I can meet you there. And so as a father, what do? We're looking at the time. I know how long it takes to get from college to this exit, and that time came by, and no message from Victoria. And I was like, okay. 15 minutes later, still no message. Half hour later, still no message. And I was already on my way. I said, because I'm just not going to take a chance. I'm going to be up there. And she should have been there a half hour ago, and she's not there. And talk about the thoughts that were in my head. They wrecked. She's dead. A horrible car accident. And that's what Satan was throwing in my head. And I was almost paralyzed. I'm crying on my way to the gas station saying, Lord, you can't take another one away from me. And I am so, and it would not go away. And I even knew. I'm like, I'm fighting it. I said, Lord, no, you're better than this. You know, I know you protect her, but it was so hard. It really hurt me. It began to give me anxiety. I pull in the gas station, and I'm really panicking. I still haven't heard from her. She's not here. Where is she at? And then all of a sudden, I get a text message. Dad, I'm sorry. I fell asleep. We're at the exit now. We're pulling off. We'll be there in 5 minutes. Sorry, Lord. And I'm asking forgiveness. And guess what? It was one of those points where I say, Lord, you don't love me anymore because I didn't trust you. Man, and then those thoughts are coming to my head that, you know what? I messed up. And I remember that night I was meeting with another pastor. And I just told him, I said, I need you to pray for me because I was so fearful. You know, he gave me some encouraging words. But that's what fear will do to you. It will cripple you. It will paralyze you. will make you feel, think things, will make you do things that you wouldn't normally do. That's what Satan wants in your life. But his blood covers us. His blood cleanses us. So if you're here today, and we're going to pray, but if you're here today and you want some prayer because you have fear in your life and you just can't overcome it, you have situations in your life you just can't overcome it, come forward. I'm sure I'll pray with you. I'm sure some of the elders and the spiritual leaders in the church will come up and pray with you as well. Because you don't have to live that way. You don't have to leave this place still with that fear. You don't have to go home to the same things that you go through home through every day. You don't have to deal with that any longer. Because God wants to break it from you today. Let's close in prayer.